Today we have Captain Ryan and Chef Gustavo on Valentina, currently chartering in the Leeward Islands. We discuss their trip through the Panama Canal, Linda, and the sandbar. This is Stephanie Lowry, and you're listening to the Songs in the Sails podcast. I don't know you guys, really. We're meeting for the first time. I didn't get to meet you at the boat show. My sister says you're amazing and has been going on about you guys. Just, I don't know if she's like silently stalking you on socials or what she's doing. her name is Kara.
I gave her the recipe of a Brazilian cheese bread.
Oh, very good. Yes. I'm sure she'll make it. No, she didn't. And my brother's really picky, so she'll probably wait so she can enjoy it with somebody who will appreciate it too.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. So where are you guys currently chartering and what boat are you on?
So we're on Valentina. We own Valentina. We're owner operators.
Okay.
We are chartering in the Leeward Islands, so Virgins, St. Martin, Anguilla, St. Barts, and then Antigua and Barbuda are another group during winter, or the high season, I guess we can call it. So we'll be up here until June, and then in June we'll go down to the Grenadines, and we spend our summers in between like Martinique and Grenada, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we take charters in the Grenadines. And then we come back up in November.
Okay, perfect. Are you going to stay there? You're not going to go to the British Virgin Islands or the U.S. Virgin Islands?
We have charters booked. Charters booked there, actually. So, yeah, we are in St. Martin now. We just got off of a charter. We're going to go head down to the Grenadines this next week. Mm-hmm. For another charter on the 20th, and then from there we go up to USVI. St. Thomas to pick up a charter, and then we'll do a USVI BVI charter, and then we come back to St. Martin for another charter a week later.
Very good. So very busy. Mm-hmm. So your calendar's picked up a good bit. Your offer to buy flights maybe did well.
It's interesting. Only about half of the charters that we actually booked took us up on the offer.
Really?
A couple of folks, they already had flights booked for whatever reason.
Well, that worked out.
So it all worked out. I'm not sure that the flight offer actually was the driving factor behind many of these charters. I think it may be a couple. It was definitely a nice incentive.
Yeah, for sure. I would have been like, yes, please, because right now, even for me to fly out of Atlanta, it's really expensive. So.
Yeah, it was a bit of a challenge when we rolled it out, because a lot of brokers were a little confused.
Oh.
They were pretty confused by how it was supposed to work, or you know, I don't know. They seemed skeptical about it for some reason. Hmm. So we had to do a bit of extra explaining.
I call that.
And then they couldn't really believe it. So I don't know. It was funny.
Yeah.
No,
all right. Well, how did you guys get in this industry? What brought you to yachting? Did you grow up in yachting, or? How'd you get here?
You grew up in boats and lake boats with your dad.
So I went out to a yacht show in Florida about 6 years ago, sort of like as a fun thing, because I actually wasn't into the industry. I didn't know much about yachting, and I just sort of wanted to get some exposure. So I went to this yacht show and fell in love with it, and ended up buying a boat about 6 months later.
Wow.
And so we've been full-time cruisers, sailors for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
On Valentina, and we've done a handful of charters over the last year, and we're getting more into it this year. So this is our first engaged season where we're, you know, with CYA and all that stuff.
Right.
Basically, we were living in New York, like high rising, you know, fifth floor, 59, something like that. And he came to me and like, let's buy a boat and travel the world. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, just buy a boat. You kidding me? No, I'm serious. So later we're traveling, like looking for boats and all that. And I'm like, I still don't believe that we're doing this.
Yeah.
And we went to Brazil. We did the charter there for about 10 to 15 days to, you know, mm-hmm. to see how catamaran works and how it's the lifestyle.
Right.
And yeah.
That's exciting.
That's as involved.
So here
we are.
We're waiting for
So.
my kids to all be gone and then we'll do that. We have like 3 years. And we're like, we want to get our captain's license and do prop I don't know if we'll do charters, but we definitely want to have a boat and go fishing. But
Oh, lots of fun.
So the charter idea was mine since
yeah.
the day when we bought the boat, because I like hospitality. But he was like, no, let's get to know the boat, learn what we need to learn, and see what happens from there.
Yeah.
We were also not staying within a certain area. So
Right,
first we
you're
bought the
responsible.
boat in, the first thing is we bought the boat in Los Angeles, which is the
Okay.
wrong ocean by a boat, I would say. But we didn't know of any better, and we thought it would be an adventure. So, you know, we sailed the Pacific coast of Mexico and Central America and went to the canal
Wow, yeah.
and then spent some time in Panama. And then we sailed around the Caribbean a couple of times over the last few
Yeah.
years. But we were always going, you know, from place to place and
Yeah.
always seeing something new. And when you charter, you kind of have to stay in a general
And
area
know it.
and market those areas. And
Yeah.
so that's why, so we're here now, basically.
That's okay. It
Also, we didn't have
sounds
enough
wonderful.
experience at that point. You know, I mean, when, you know, you're getting your sea legs, you don't want to have guests, you know, when you're
Right.
going through those learning experiences, which we certainly did.
Right,
It
right, right.
definitely helped having this 5-year experience before turning to a charter,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Very cool. It sounds exciting.
Well,
So,
sounds like.
what is your day look like? What do you do as a captain? Are you, it's just the two of you, correct? So, one of you is the captain and one of you is the chef, or both you have a captain's license?
He's the captain. I'm the real captain.
Okay, great.
Kidding. No, he's the captain.
Yeah.
He's the captain. I'm the chef. Go ahead.
So, what does your day look like?
When we're on charter or not on charter, because those are two very different days.
They are. Maybe on charter. What does your day on charter look like?
So on charter, we're usually getting up, you know, around 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Before the guests wake up. We're finding that our guests really aren't waking up before 8 most mornings.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, 9. So, you know, we have to plan our days around that.
Right.
So we get up and we start with, you know, with the coffee, and we'll put in some Pancho Queijo, you know, get a fruit platter out and set the table, and just basically start prepping for breakfast right away.
Right.
So, you know, when the guests come up, you know, they have coffee and fruit and cheese bread ready for them. And then we, you know, once we get most of the folks out here, we start on we you know, we start the main breakfast, and we have breakfast. And then it's pretty much, you know, the day's begun. So it's either the activities we're doing there at that anchorage that day after breakfast, or
Yeah.
it's cleaning up breakfast and then getting prepared to move and to the next anchorage, and you know, start the next day's activities, that day's activities.
Right,
The
right.
next place.
Are you able to do a lot of prepping in the kitchen for food with your limited supplies, or do you ha is it crucial for you to prep because of your lack of supplies in areas?
I don't think we have a huge problem with supplies anymore.
Okay. Even
We,
for
you know,
food, though, I
we've
mean.
we, no, I mean, we've been
Okay.
around for in the Caribbean for so long, we kind of know where to go to get what we need.
Okay.
We know the locals.
And we know a
Yeah.
lot of the local stuff. Yeah, but you know, that didn't come without a little bit of trial and error and experience.
Yeah.
You know, when you're chartering in the USVI or the BVIs, it's easy because everything's available everywhere. And depending on which islands you go to, that'll be the case. In other islands, it won't be, and you
Won't
have
be,
to just
right.
make do with it. So, and that's one of the reasons why we like to provision in Martinique, or we provision in Saint Martin, and then we do, you know, more fresh vegetable
Right.
provision, you know, if we're going to go to a more remote place
I had to
later.
provision one time in Puerto Rico, and one of my guests was, she only wanted, was it Bud Light? Bud Light was like what she drank from morning to night. And I knew this. While we were provisioning, I went everywhere. I found like one case, and we're going for a week. And I'm like, all right, what's your
Popular
second favorite? She's like, I can do Coors. I'm like, okay. And I thought, well, this will be fine. I found one case and I went to multiple places and I'm like, okay, what's your third favorite? Like, because she literally drank like 20 a day. So I knew what I needed, but I wasn't finding it. It was awful. She was quite unhappy with me.
Yeah. So you were crew before?
No,
or
no.
Crew?
Well, so I'm married to a musician and we do these things called ultimate fan experiences where fans come and spend a week with us on a yacht. And a couple of times I've had to do the provisioning and the cooking for our friends. And so that's what that was about. So.
Interesting.
We found that most guests are pretty understanding. It's, you know, if there's a particular very specific brand that they would like, and it's just, it's not sold on a particular island. It's not sold on a particular island.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you're going to the Caribbean.
It's part of the cultural experience is, you know, you try new things.
right, of course.
Our guests are asking for local stuff. I mean,
that's good.
For example, you mentioned beer. The Charter and the Grenadines were doing, they asked for local beer. So, you know, we have a couple of cases of Carib already, but I'm going to wait until we get down there to buy Stag, which is the local beer of, well, it's the Grenada beer, but it's the one that, you know, it's one of the favorites down there.
Yeah, very good.
So we'll do that.
All right. So since you've done a bunch of traveling, what is your favorite chartering destination or one that you loved out of all your travels?
Well, we're headed down to the Grenadines and that's pretty magical. Simply because a lot of the islands are just so remote and, it's much of it is unchanged. I would say they live sort of a more simple, simple sort of a village fishing, community life on many of the islands. And I personally find that charming. It also means that, the anchorages are less busy and the water's clear and the beaches are pretty because it's not developed. So that's a nice feature.
And the locals are very happy to have us there.
They're very friendly.
They're very friendly. It's pretty. It's, I don't know. It's magical. It's different.
It's very magical. Very good. All right. What is your favorite meal to make?
My favorite meal, I would say camarão na moranga, which is a Brazilian dish.
Yeah.
Translating in English will be?
It's shrimp stuffed pumpkin.
Yes. So it's a family style.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It sounds
it's
really
family
good.
Family style dish. You can do individual plates if you find a small pumpkin. But the family style, the cool thing is like, they don't know what it is. When I explain it to them, bring it up.
Yeah.
So when I come up with this beautiful pumpkin full of shrimp and I open, everybody, wow.
Yeah.
They make this face and then they craving for more. Like, do you have more? Can I have more?
Yeah.
So it's probably your favorite thing to make based on guests' reactions to it because it's a fun presentation.
It's the guest reaction, the fun presentation. It's a little bit of my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to show them a little bit of, different things from different parts of the world, like Brazilian dish or a Venezuelan dish or, something different that they will never have back home.
I'm going to have to look this up. You're going to have to send me that, type out that name because I don't know how to say that or spell it.
I can't see that.
And besides that, I do love cooking healthy, like making healthy foods, like more mad style. Mediterranean style. I love cooking that.
Very cool. So you don't have a problem with any dietary restrictions then?
I do not have a problem. At all. The only thing
the guests we just had on board were only pescatarians. They no shellfish either. It was only fish and vegetarian dishes.
Yeah. So the only thing that I always ask, the guest or, the broker, if we get any vegan going down island, will be more difficult to get the accommodate and get vegan supplies, but it's not impossible. It's possible. The Grenadines has a great selection of vegetables, but if they want to, like, you know, a ham vegan or a chicken vegan or cheese vegan, things like that, we need to plan way in advance.
Right.
Yeah, some of the processed stuff that we, you know, the vegan, like, substitute processed products are they're just not there. So we'd have to order them or buy them here in St. Martin or somewhere like that before we go.
What is your favorite meal he makes for you?
Well, when we're not on charter, we both cook quite a bit.
Okay.
So yeah. I mean, I just as much as he does when we're not on charter. Yeah.
But what do you like the most?
What do I like the most? I like tapioca in the morning. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So tapioca is like it's basically like a crepe that's done with yuca flour, and you can add whatever you want to it.
Egg, cheese.
Just like a crepe, basically.
So you just make a little crepe. Yeah, it's a Brazilian dish.
But it's got a bit of a different texture.
Gotcha. Is that, I guess that's similar. So we have a French restaurant here near us. It's called the Galloping Galette. So they have crepes are the sweet and then galettes are the savory. So it's more of like, you're talking more of like a savory thing. And it has, I think they use buckwheat.
Sometimes it's sweet and savory. You can do both. Like you can add, you can like, we could do like cream cheese, ham, and then they'll put like honey or something on it.
You could just do banana and Nutella and
okay, very good. All right, what is your favorite? You guys don't dive, correct? No diving, scuba diving.
You dive. We dive. We're dive boats. Yeah, okay. But we personally.
Well, then, what is your favorite dive spot or snorkel spot, with guests or without guests? It doesn't matter.
The Grenadines is one spot with the guests.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in the Grenadines back way. For us personally, I think one of the most beautiful dive spots we've been that we dove, it was Bonaire and the ABCs.
Yes.
That was like something out of the blue. It was just like you go down there, it's just a completely different world.
Right.
It's beautiful.
I've heard that before. All right. What is your favorite charter activity?
Well, we have many favorite charter activities, but one of our favorites, I would say, is setting up volleyball tournaments with our guests, and we recruit other boats, and we bring a cool beer to the beach and just, you know, having a fun afternoon of it. So
that sounds like a lot of fun. We're very competitive in my family.
I mean, like we get kind of competitive. It can be as competitive or as, you know, lackadaisically friendly as we want it to be, but
that's good.
And another favorite activity, I guess, is a new pastime of ours is free diving for lobster. So we started that this last year, and it's been fun. We got pretty lucky over Christmas in Barbuda, out there at Spanish Point. We caught a bunch of lobsters out there. With some friends of
jumping
ours, so.
Off the back. Jumping from the back of the boat and just like craving for lobster, like it was really cool.
Putting on the coral heads and looking the holes and pick them out when you can find them.
And I guess there's a bunch there, right?
Yeah, it's very remote. There's nothing on shore. And it's just it's sand mixed with coral heads, and so you anchor in between the coral heads, and they're big coral. Formations, and you just swim around them and look underneath and inside the crevices, and every once in a while you get lucky.
Very cool. Okay, what is your favorite charter memory?
The sandbar. Carnival. You want to explain the sandbar?
All right. So we told some guests that we were planning the days with a guest, I guess it was, you know, breakfast or whatever, and breakfast had ended, and it was sort of a slower activity day, and we said, look, you know, do you guys want to go out to the sandbar? And Everybody said, yeah, that sounds great. And so it was probably around like noon at this point. And they start getting like dressed, like dresses and heels and shoes and, you know, purses and wallets. And we,
oh, no.
Where were we? I can't remember where this was. Yeah. And so we had to like take a minute and be like,
wait, where are you guys going?
Where do you think we're going? I'm sure I said in a better way than that, but that was sort of the message. Like, where do you think we're going here? There's nothing there. It's a sandbar. And so
they thought it was a drinking bar.
They thought it was just, they thought it was an actual like restaurant bar
situation
where they were going to,
That's a good one.
But yeah, it was just a sandbar in the middle of the ocean that we dinghied out to and spent the day on. So.
That's
once
funny.
Everybody figured out where we were going and got on board, it was fine. But
right,
just
right,
a little
right.
bit of a miscommunication because of the language.
That's funny.
That was funny.
What is interesting about you two as a crew? What sets you apart?
I'd say, I think being an owner-operator sets us apart in a big way because the boats are home and our business investment. So,
right.
You know, we're not going anywhere next season or the season after that. This is it for us. So we treat the boat extremely well because you know we care about it. It's right. You know we have to live in it.
Yeah.
We also get to do a lot of little upgrades on the boat that maybe another charter boat wouldn't necessarily think of or want to do because, you know, just little things, you know, for day-to-day convenience for ourselves because we get to enjoy those conveniences as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. What is your craziest guest story? Or since you're new to the chartering industry, what's your most bizarre broker request or broker story?
All right. I'll give
you one. Go ahead. You do it. We have so many.
We actually have a lot.
Of which one? Guest stories or broker
weirdos?
I'll give
you both. We've been getting a lot of requests from brokers to do charters in the hurricane zone during hurricane season. And I keep finding myself having to go back to the brokers trying to tactfully inform them that that's not, it's not a good thing to do.
Right. Well, so I will tell you, we've had I don't know why, but there's an uptick of people asking for that time period. I'm like, there's not many people who do this. It's just not what we do most of the time. Even if you want to go, even a tropical storm in the island sucks. Like you don't want to go. So I do know that they're trying to make people happy.
I understand. It's just trying to, you know, sell the charter and do what the guests would like to do. But I think there's there's definitely a fiduciary obligation to educate and set expectations that, early October is not a good time in St. Martin. They'd be much better served coming down to the Grenadines and chartering down there. I know that like hotel rates and maybe flights were less expensive in August, July or August.
There's
to
a
go
reason.
To, there's a reason. Finding a boat is going to be difficult or impossible. And it's just not something we can do. So that's been kind of a challenge. As far as guests go, recently there's a charter that just departed yesterday. They had a little mix up with their flights. Luckily we weren't involved with booking these flights, but, I'll tell you the story anyway. They wanted to come on the 30th and they were taking a red eye flight because they were coming out from California. So they booked the 30th at midnight and then they arrived on the 30th. But so because, you know, 12:15 a.m. is going to be the 30th and then that's technically still a red eye and then they get there the same day.
Right.
So Some of the guests booked the 30th and some of the guests booked the 31st because of the confusion about midnight and the date changing.
Yeah.
And so we had two groups of guests arrive on two different days on accident.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Which is okay.
So, but we got
not
a call from
the
them.
Time like, change too, because they're what, 3-4 hours behind you?
4 hours. It's a 4 hour time difference. Yeah.
We got a call and
the day before the trip.
No, it was the day of the trip. So like, my flight's tomorrow.
So it was 5 hours before she was supposed to leave for the airport.
Like, no, your flight is in 5 hours because she called.
She sent me the itinerary and called me. She's like, can you look at this? I think my flight's today, but I booked it for tomorrow. And I'm like, I think you booked it for today.
Oh no.
So
luckily she had everything packed.
They had to hightail it to the airport.
That worked out for her.
For the first group. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's funny. I would not be ready. I'm usually packing right as I need to run out the door.
Yeah.
Oh no, I packed like a week before.
I do too. I need to pack 2 hours before I'm supposed to leave because there might be something in my suitcase that I'm going to need. So I pack
all week. Like I'm adding slowly, but I'm still doing it before I leave. Levi's rolling his eyes.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. I start 3 hours before my flight's supposed to leave. That's how I am.
It's funny. All right. What is your biggest challenge as a crew?
What would you say?
I guess we'll say as a biggest challenge, we'll try to explain to guests that we can fight the weather, you know, if it's rough out there. It's not safe. It's a very tough situation where we cannot go there. I know you plan to go there.
Right.
We cannot because of the weather, the circumstances. And hearing the no sometimes is not fun, you know, when you're paid for a job.
This is what
I think for me, I think that's it's a little bit challenging telling the guests, no, we can't go there because of the weather. But I mean, even though they know that, I think this is for me. How you feel?
That is challenging. I find that most guests understand when we explain it, and especially there's a real easy way to solve this. Just move to a part of the Anchorage that's a little rough, and then you can sort
leave.
Of give them an idea of like how bad it must be in the next place or out at sea. And you can just do a lap around the Anchorage or just sort of like go outside of the Anchorage a little bit. And then as soon as the boat starts going crazy, you know, head back and say, do you really want to be out in this? It's not safe and you're going to be really uncomfortable and everybody's gonna be sick. So, you know, you just give them a little taste. Sometimes they'll solve the problem.
Right.
And then they feel like they went somewhere and did something, you know, which is fine. And I think having a backup plan is always a smart idea too. You know, we usually have 2, 3, sometimes 4 different options for any given stop along the way. So, you know, if something does kick up or we get a weird wind reversal or the swell's coming from the wrong way, you know, we have some different options to choose from.
Very good.
So that's not so bad. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, that's it. That's all my questions. Levi's got some. Just kidding. I forgot. My producer, he listens to things as we talk and then interjects things he wants you to expand on.
That's
so
awesome.
1 second.
I love it. Yeah.
He's really interested in the trip from LA to the Caribbean.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Do you have a few stories you could share?
We were very green. So we had initially hired a captain, like I guess it was, you could call it a delivery captain, to basically help us along the way and basically teach us, you know, about what we were doing.
It was ASA instructor.
Yeah. We unfortunately found that they weren't really doing the job of teacher very well, and maybe they weren't operating the boat very well either. And it came to a point where we had to let somebody go and let somebody else go. And so after about the third person, Yeah, we had some crazy stuff going on there. So after about the third person, we decided to just, I mean, we'd seen it, let's do it ourselves. And, you know, just simple stuff like, you know, anchoring scope. You know, that would be the first thing I would might cover with somebody, you know, on a particular sailing trip. And they didn't do that. So we did a lot of our learning through, you know, online courses, YouTube, and reading. So that
as
was
you
that's
are going?
A crazy thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How
and
long did
keep
it
in
take
mind,
you?
This is before Starlink and internet at sea too.
Right.
So I mean, we were working off of SIM cards, you know, on our phones, and you know, with terrible connectivity. I don't know. I would say once we got to Costa Rica, I feel like we kind of had it down. So this was maybe 6 months, 9 months into it. We were doing pretty well. Well, let's see, actually. No, this would have been 6 months because we crossed the canal. We bought the boat in late March, early April, and then we crossed the canal, which was Panama, right? At the end of December. Okay. So that kind of gives you that time frame. And by the time we crossed the Panama Canal, we were in a pretty good position as far as, you know, being able to take care of things ourselves.
I think the Panama Canal was a time where he learned how to keep the boat.
Oh, talk about close quarters maneuvering. I mean, you really get a crash course of what that's all about.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
The pilot, we thought the pilot was going to drive the boat doing the canal, and we were fine. And then he came on board, and then he was like, okay, how fast can you go? It's full throttle. Let's do this in one day.
And when you go into the locks, they stuff you in there. I mean, there's no room between the boats. So like they tell you go into this little tiny space. I mean, you know, you have maybe a foot on each side of you, and you better get it just perfect.
And you have a huge tank behind you.
And there's current and weird things going on. Yeah.
That's nerve-wracking.
It was crazy. Yeah. Oh, well, here's another story for you. So we got stuck in Panama during COVID, and they wouldn't let us. Well, I got stuck by myself. He went back to the U.S.
I had to go back to U.S. for personal reasons, and he called me the day I arrived in U.S., and he was like, you have to come back to Panama because they're going to shut the borders. And like, no, but I have this, I have this appointment next week and I can't miss it. It's very important to me. It's like, no, you should come back. So anyway, I stayed. The next day they shut down the border. And an hour later, I got an email with the appointment cancellation. And I wasn't stuck in Miami and wasn't stuck in Panama.
So yeah, so we were, I guess it was about 4 months it took to figure out what to do. So yeah, I was like on a mooring ball out like in this like behind this reef. It was like this mooring field on the mooring ball, sort of out in the middle of the jungle. We were like an hour and a half away from Cologne. It was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. So for 4 months you were by yourself in Panama and he was in the States. What did you do?
That's right. Yeah.
That was like the initial, like, you know, everybody's like, what's happening? We're hunkering down in fear.
Well, I wasn't the only person there. I mean, there were other boats, you know, in this mooring.
Right.
So there's a marina sort of across the mangrove. And then there's the mooring facility where I was. So, you know, it was a COVID bubble, if you will.
Yeah. So you made friends while you were there.
We had our dog. I had our dog with us on the boat, so she kept me company, and that was a lot of fun. You know, we would go and explore the mangroves, and there was like a beach inside the mangroves that had access to the open ocean, and we just go run around on that. So we had fun. Yeah, it was actually not the worst time.
No, but you mentioned your dog. Is the dog on full time?
The dog's on full time. Yeah. She's been living on, we adopted her in Costa Rica. So that was, she's almost five now.
She's almost five.
She's
a boxer lab mix. She's an island dog, but she's boxer lab.
Yeah.
She's heavily featured on her socials. So she can be seen.
She's well trained. So she's pretty cool. She doesn't bark too much.
She's also listed as crew on our CYA brochure.
Yeah. So, very good.
It's no mystery. Yeah.
What did you say her name was?
We do have a couple of guests. Her name's Linda.
Linda. Okay.
Linda. Yeah. It comes from Kay Linda in Costa Rica when she was a puppy.
Yeah.
And then kind of stuck. Yeah.
Very cute.
We've had a couple of guests request that, you know, she's not on the boat, and then we have dog sitters and places where we can leave her for the week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's nice.
It's fine.
Well, this has been lovely. You guys are really great. I hope that we can get you some more bookings. Are you looking for more for this season?
We are. We had like these five bookings that are just like back to back. So April is open, May and June are open. And then I would say like early June, we're going to head down to the Grenadines. And so if somebody wants like a nice early summer vacation, go to the Grenadines in June or early July, because it's beautiful. Gorgeous from there.
All right.
And I think a lot of people decide to skip it for some reason. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll give it a good push and see what we can get you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It was nice meeting you.
Yeah. You too. All right. You guys have a wonderful day. Be safe traveling.
You. Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Songs in the Sails podcast. We thrive because of listeners and viewers like you. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review. If you have comments and questions, please send us an email, yachtcharters@songsinthesails.com. Now, come sail away.